it's important just to point your compass towards joy.
And play like you, be like you, and don't overthink it.
We can do a sticker, and that keeps my cost down, or we can print straight on the tin. And I was like, I don't care about profit. Let's go straight on the tin. Let's do it. It's got to look good. Yeah, straight on the tin. profit be damned. I'm not doing this for profit. Yeah. I want to...
Mate, it's like this drink, right? I've got this little rhubarb press.
Wow.
Go in a farm shop. It's about £8 a can, mate. Do you know what I mean?
You know
it's
that guy.
Like, that's your demographic, mate.
Exactly.
£8 a can...
You're my demographic.
That you don't need.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly that.
You're the guy that I can trick into like, okay, but I'll sell more if I charge more because there's a demographic that only needs to, they need to pay more to validate their lives. That's
exactly,
you and me.
Yeah. It literally is. Yeah.
If somebody had a Honda Civic for 11 grand and one for 13 grand, there's not even an option. I have to get the $13,000 one to be like, well, I don't know. Something must be better about it.
Mate. You know what's funny? So Black Friday started, well, it's the whole month now, but right. Like yesterday, Cole Buxton did like a teaser sale.
Okay.
No, it wasn't a teaser sale. They just started Black Friday yesterday.
Okay.
And some items were like 50% off. Some items were 60%. I didn't want it.
Yep.
I said, let me pay full price, mate. Now it's 50% off. I don't want it.
50% off of Cole Buxton means it should be at an outlet shop in an American mall. I don't want a part of that.
Don't give the people what they want is the moral of the story. Do you know what I mean? It's like same with sneakers, mate.
Dude.
As soon as Kanye made them more available.
Game over. If right now you said, look, I know you guys can't get these Jordans, but I have them. And just so you know, the reality is they cost $4 a pair to make. So we're going to sell them for $10. Yeah. You would sell none of them. But put them at $299, exactly. People lose their minds.
Yep.
So anyways,
so true, mate.
I'm throwing profit out the window for the new company. And I said, print straight on the tin. And then, we'll have QR codes on the bottom for all the nutrition facts. So I don't have to clutter up the back with a bunch of nutrition facts.
Nice.
Because there is no nutrition fact for matcha. You know what the nutrition fact is? It's a leaf.
It's good for you.
It's good for you. That's,
it's tea.
It's got,
mate, that could be one of your slogans. It's just tea.
It's just tea. Don't overthink it, mate.
It's just the leaf. It's just the leaf.
Do you want to hear our slogan? We do have a slogan.
Go on. Okay.
Japanese matcha, California vibes.
Oh, I like it. I saw it on the picture you sent me. I thought I like that a lot.
Throw credit to where credit is due. It's their culture, but don't pretend like I'm a part of it because I'm not. I'm just a California dude who likes a little bit of matcha. Well, everybody, welcome into Drum with Mike and Eddie, the drumming podcast where we never mention drums. That's a lie. Today, we are talking drums. Also, if you are brand new to this podcast is really about all of the mental things that we go through as drummers. And that's not just the negative side of things, like the minor bouts of depression and questioning ourselves and imposter syndrome. It's really all of the mental prep. And today we're talking about breaking down a drum part as if you were going to cover it. In the past, we've written drum parts for songs that were drumless tracks. But a lot of you will at some point have to break down a drum part that's already set in stone because maybe you're doing some cover gigs or some function gigs, or maybe you're just filling in for a drummer like Eddie has done many times and had to learn the drum parts. I'm assuming that when you cover these high profile gigs, they don't send you drumless tracks, right?
No, not sometimes. The most of the time, they'll send you like the live versions, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Because that's a stinger as well, mate. Like, you go, yeah, I can do it, mate. You get straight on Spotify,
right?
You start learning all the music, and then you turn up, and they go, oh, yeah. So for the intro live, we thought we'd spice it up a bit, and you go, okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, should have sent me that one, boys.
Yep.
Now I'm losing my mind. You've extended everything by like 9 bars, which is just the weirdest thing in the world. So yeah, 9 times out of 10, people will send you like the live recording.
And then,
to be honest, mate, I just get on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just get straight on YouTube.
And then when you learn this stuff, I'm assuming, well, I'll just ask because I actually don't know. If there's fills, do you learn the fills note for note, or do you just learn the length of the fill, when it happens, and if there's any stabs or punches in it?
Try to learn everything note for note, which is just
do you
hard,
really
man.
Wow but
yeah
that's
it's,
impressive
it's really hard at least the gen when it comes to fills at least the general vibe of it.
So the feel, you know what I mean? Of the fill. Like, exactly. What did the fill do?
Yeah, exactly. You can't, like, that's what is the most important thing, because 9 times out of 10, well, it depends on the situation. If it's a last minute thing, kind of rules go out the window. It's like, sure. Look, just get the job done.
Yeah.
Don't blast beat over a section that's not, you know.
It's a swing.
You know what I mean? Don't take the mic.
Yeah.
But I try to though, man. I try to do it exactly note for note, really. But it is really difficult. Very difficult. I think just like listening to the overall vibe and the feel of it is the most important thing in that situation.
Yeah. It took me a long time to realize how important the fill was as far as what did it do. I didn't get that at all. Like when I was younger, I just thought, well, there's a fill happening here. It's different than the groove. I'm going to learn it note for note. Honestly, what's the Metallica album with like Inner Sandman and
The Black Album.
So that was like the first one where I could learn every fill. They were right there in front of you. All that kind of stuff. And, you know, and Nothing Else Matters has like 11 fills, but each one is like, Lars is like, okay, drummer boys, here comes the drum fill. And you could learn it note for note. And so I just learned them because I don't know. I thought it was the drum part. You should learn it. It was much later in life that producers would tell me, I need a fill that lifts. I need a fill that shuts everything down and at the end vacuums the air out of the room. You know, things like that where I was like, could you just notate it for me? And they're like, no, I don't care what you play. I care what it does. And that was, you know, or I need a less busy fill. I need a Ringo fill. A lot of times they would use drummers to describe the thing. Like, give me a Ringo fill or give me a Lars Ulrich fill. Like, I want a lot of space.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Most of the time, like in this last thing that I just did, all you'd hear through the talkback mic is like, oh yeah, just go like, dun, 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 dun.
Really? They were singing it?
Yeah. Well, and you're just like, okay, cool. And then, so one of the lessons that I wish I could have done again, and I probably will do it again, but do it better this time. The nerves got the better of me. But one of the lessons I did at the first camp we did together at your place was like, I was trying to like teach them and just get them to sort of like practice in ways that didn't rely on, okay, what technically is this? And then second of all, have you got music in front of you? And I want to do that lesson again, actually, because that's so important. Because like, like I said last week, mate, all I was getting down the talkback mic was, yeah, just go, dum, da, dum, dum, ba.
Wow.
And then you just have to do it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, sometimes people don't even know what they're explaining. You just sort of have to just like listen and go, I kind of get what you mean. Like with the experience of recording and just being a drummer, with what you're saying, that equals something I think I know. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is very few producers. I mean, I know who you were working with and I know their skill set. But
yeah, for sure.
But most producers have no clue how difficult what they're asking of us is. So they're like, just give me like a... I'm like, okay, done. And they're like, no, don't stop doing the left foot when that happens. I'm like, okay, well, John, you don't understand what you're asking. Like, you're asking me to be an octopus here. Like, you know, and then just make sure you hit those crashes. And I'm like, it's getting a little spicy.
Mate, there was one feel like that where they said, try this. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then it ended up being a left hand lead and then coming out of it with my left hand as well. It was just really weird. And then I sort of went back into the room. I was like, that was so funny because, you know, it was like, I had to do like a left hand lead and come out of it on my left. Right. And they're just looking at me like, yeah, we don't care. Yeah.
It's either in time or it's not, you know?
Yeah, it's either good or it's not.
We didn't hire you to be the bassist. We hired you to be the drummer. So why don't you just do your job and leave? Also, like, we're hungry. So could you go get some sandwiches or something?
I'll keep the whole left-hand lead thing to myself. Yeah.
I'm gonna step outside and voice note Mike. He'll get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to break down a song. So I've got this is a drumless track from the modern country section of our drumless track section on mikeslessons.com. This is the drummed version, which I've never heard. So I was, so I don't know the drum part whatsoever. I've heard the song before because we have the drumless version on our website, but I've never heard the drummed version before. So what I want to go through is just everything that's coming to your mind as it's happening. We'll take it bit by bit. So we'll just listen to this first verse. By the way, guys, modern country, but because Eddie and I have a deep love for Nickelback country and cheeseball country, this has got a little bit of twang to it.
I go straight from the bank, gassing up the tank, cranking up the radio, playing old Hank. It ain't that long till I'm back at the farm. I'm pulling up the truck down at the dock. It's time to do some cruising, baby, get a little stuck. It's a Saturday joyride, Percy Feast is the spot.
Okay.
Oh,
the chorus is coming. So let's talk.
I love a bit of cheeky production, man.
Let's talk verse groove. By the way, just in case you were wondering, the song's title is Hell of a Time, and it's one word of H-E-L-L-U-V-A, Hell of a Time.
Nice. Perfect.
Bo the Drifter. Perfect. He's an artist.
Love a bit of country.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's so good.
All right. So let's get into it. Verse groove. Now let's assume we'll take overproduction out of it right now. As far as, let's just consider we've got kick, snare, and hats. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
What's happening right off the bat for you,
mate? So that is the first question. But seeing as we're eradicating that, I mean, that's the hard thing with like modern music. If there's so much production in it that you have to go as a drummer, wait, am I even playing the hi-hats?
Is that me?
Is that like...
Right.
Like that happened like last week loads. Like, yeah, I think it sounds like it's 16ths, but it kind of needs to be 8ths. Otherwise, it's going to sound like flipping ska music.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
That's a production thing. So that's definitely the first question. But let's move away from that because that is... Yeah, that's a tough one. I think for me, it's most definitely trying to remember the kick pattern.
Right. Right.
So like, okay, how long is the phrase? Right. Like, what is the actual pattern? Where does it stop and start? And then let me just get that down before anything.
100%.
Yeah. How would you learn the kick pattern?
Yeah. So I learn things a little kind of weird. Like I go on the staff of music, I go bottom to the top. So the first thing I learn is the kick pattern. So immediately I heard it as one E and a and three E and a four E and one E and a two. So I heard that. Then I go, okay, cool. It's only two beats long because really it's one E and then it just repeats. So it's two beats long. Then I ask myself, okay, we go up to the next thing in the middle of the staff is the snare line. And I ask myself, is the snare doing anything other than two and four? If it is, I got to figure it out. If it's not, I'm giving it no thought. It was not. It was just doing two and four. So now I've got one E and a, two E and a, three E and a, and then I go to the top line, which is the hi-hat line. And I had the exact same thought as you. I'm like, is it eighths for me, but then there's a shaker doing the 16ths? Or am I doing all 16? What's happening?
Worst things to ever happen to drummers, that is, production.
I'm telling you.
It's like, because it can be a vibe killer.
Oh, totally.
Say if like we're practicing these songs because we're rehearsing with the hell of a, what's his name?
This is Bo the Drifter.
Bo the Drifter. Right. We're about to step in and rehearse with Bo the Drifter. Kick it in. Let's take it from this song. Okay, yeah, sure, no worries. Boom, 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 ka. It's an instant like, whoa, that's not what the drums do. And it's like, well, I can't tell because you've messed around with the hi-hats and production.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. It's really, really difficult. So yeah, in a case like that, I would just simplify and just be like, I think I would just do that.
Do quarters. Yeah.
I think so. Just space.
Yeah, and it can be tough too. I'm sure you've encountered this, but sometimes they say, don't worry about it. We'll actually add in the hi-hat later, but it throws me off physically to not be playing the hi-hat. They're like, just do kick and horrible. Snare. And I'm like, well, I can't. They're kind of linked to, the feel is linked together. Yes, I can do it. But, and then I'm like, all right, can you not mic my thigh? Can I play on my thigh? I got to hit something. Because it's a whole body thing that I've worked on. And now you're taking away the top half of my body doing this thing. So,
yeah, it's really weird. And then like dynamically, you'll probably be playing, well, you probably will be playing the kicks like way harder because you've got to do nothing with your arms.
Yeah.
So you'll be going, dun, dun, ka,
yeah,
dun, dun, ka, like digging into it way more. And then when it comes to putting the hi-hats in, it's going to sound little old tickly.
It's so, you know, funny. I mean? So funny. All right. So we've got that, but then we've got that fill going into the chorus. I'm going to back us up a little bit so we can dissect that fill.
It's time to do some cruising, baby.
I'm stuck. It's a Saturday joyride. Perfect feast is the spot to take blues away. We're on a boat.
Okay.
Ooh.
So the first thing I heard is it starts on the of one, one e, da, 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 one e, and da, 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 da. And then we also have it stops on the four, right?
Okay. Cool.
Da, 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 da. So let's listen to it one more time. Go ahead.
I love. I was hoping you're going to carry on singing it.
A shot and ding. I'm flopping do. Scotty Johnson don't driving the bus to school. Here we go.
Down at the dock, it's time to do some cruising, baby. Get a little stuck. It's a Saturday joyride. Percy Feast is the spot to take the blues away. We're on a boat, we're feeling fine. Drinking Tennessee whiskey, a big blue sky. We're going up.
Okay, so the chorus is a little bit different. But yeah, so that fill, just 16th notes around the drums. If you've got a four piece, you're going to be fine. You know,
Cool. It's so funny because in that situation, normally I would listen to like a word for a stop.
Yeah.
But when there's not a word, I do count.
Do you?
I do. I have to, because otherwise it's like, I don't know, man. You can overcomplicate things in your head. And I think that's when counting is just so, it just makes everything easier.
Right.
Like, I probably wouldn't count in the correct sort of, in the way. Sometimes I just make it up. Sometimes I might do like one and two and three and four and. That's probably how I would count. Because then I can tell myself it's in the four and or whatever. I just have my own weird ways of doing it. But
I always count the least common denominator. So I start with quarter notes. So listen, I'll show you what I mean. Let's see here.
Stage or ride.
So it landed on the four. So there's no need for me to count any more than that. Then if it doesn't land on a number, then I go to the next step, which would be like, all right, let me try eighth notes. One and two and three and. Oh, it lands on an and. If it doesn't land on the eighth note, then I jump up to 16th. One E and a two E and a. Okay, cool. But there's no reason for me to say one E and a two E and a three E and a four when it's like, well, we're landing on the four. So I always start with the quarter notes, then go to the eighths, then go to the 16ths.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I think just thinking about what I do there, when you explained that, I think I always count in 16ths. I don't know why.
Really? And you count actually count or do you sing it? Do you feel it as like cha ta ta ta, or do you count one E and a two E and a?
If there isn't like a vocal or like a very prominent guitar lick or bass or something going on within the music, then I'll probably count and I'll probably do like one E and a, or a one and two and three. Actually, I just use one and two and three and
eighth
four.
Notes. Yeah. That's how I get. And a lot of times I'm just trying to think, did it do something that I wasn't prepared for it to do? With that fill, it stops exactly where I feel like it should stop. So I don't really have to do much.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, from bum bum dun 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 ka tink. And I'm like, oh, come on with the tink. I don't need the
I know.
Why'd you get it? We could have just stopped at ka, but you went to ka tink.
And that's where, if there's a vocal, that's where like that's like the angel on your shoulder, man. Yeah. And that's like, okay, cool. I can just forget about the music and just focus on the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, last week happened so many times because I always track with vocals if I can, if it's possible. That's what I hated about doing the LTA tracking back in the days. And Mike used to do the vocals last, and sometimes I would never hear the vocals.
Never got a scratch
track. So it was really
track.
Frustrating. Oh my God, mate. It was just like, plus you want to play to the vocal a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You want
to
support.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, that's cool. So yeah, so I actually count in eighth notes. That's what I always do.
There you go.
Yeah, even if I don't need to, it's just one, two, and three. Yeah.
This podcast is really just a chance for us to discover ourselves and learn about
it. Really is. It's like, what is going on in this weird brain, mate?
It'll help you in the future to be when you do more lessons. Which, by the way, I was thinking, I've got a teacher in mind that I want to bring on the podcast for us to revisit the becoming a teacher thing. So we'll do that maybe next week. All right, let's keep moving forward. We are jumping into the chorus now. Right when we just heard that last little snippet, I heard like, oof, I think that groove is like, there's something being added. There was one of those extra snares somewhere, like with a little push. So let's listen to that.
Oh, we're feeling fine. There's a party on the water. It's a hell of a time. We're on the boat. We're
Your Luddies would sound good on this one, bud.
Oh my God, so good. So there's a kick being taken out as well.
Yes.
So it's just a simplified version, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then you've got that little like bit at the end.
Exactly, that little push. And I'm hearing, let you listen with your fancy in ears and let me know. I'm hearing an open hi-hat on the end of one, but not the end of three. So I'm hearing boom, ska,
I bloody hope so, mate.
Here we go.
I bloody hope so.
Don't let me down, Bo the Drifter.
Saturday, joyride. Percy Priest is the spot to take the blues away. We're on a boat. We're feeling fine.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there is.
It's a hit.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love that, mate. I love when choruses are basically like a simplified version of the verse.
Yeah, because we've gone from doom doom duka to doom duka, and now we've got doom ska or doom skunka chika doom doomka chika doom skunka chika doom doomka.
Yeah, it's a tasty chorus, man. I love a chorus with a closed hi-hat, mate.
Yes.
It might be my new favorite thing. I just think that it's just so, like, I don't know what the word is. Like, just like smart.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
It's rebellious.
It's like the Apple of choruses.
It's rebellious.
The Steve Jobs of choruses.
That's exactly what it is. Just chaos. Keep it simple. When they sold us our ride symbol as children, they said, every time you get to a chorus, you'll use this. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, but I don't hear that on all the albums. And they're like, don't worry about it. You just do it. And now I think you're right. Every time we get to the chorus, I'm like, first of all, we're going to have three of these things. Do I have to go to the ride right away? Where am I going to go on the third one?
Exactly.
I have to get a stacker.
Exactly.
I have to get the Luke Holland stacker. All right. Here we go. So we are now and I think the fills that are happening are nice, simple 16th note. I call them around the world because they start on the snare and then they finish on the floor tom. So you just go around the world and you just go, all right.
Yeah. It's all you need, isn't it? It's kind of what's expected. I remember hearing someone, I can't remember who it was, saying that like the most popular music is popular because people get what they expect.
Good point.
And I was like, oh, that's so good. Cause like, and then he went on to say it depends what music and genre and stuff like that. And there's smart ways of giving people new things to keep them engaged. But like things like metal, AC/DC, it's so satisfying because you expect it. Here comes the big chorus. I've got it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Like sometimes don't mess with what's expected sometimes. You know what I mean?
Don't mess with the recipe. Here we go. We're moving on. So this is going right into the second verse. We'll see if it's the same as the first.
With a bottle of wine.
The kick pattern is completely changed.
It's completely different.
Now it's boom.
This is when you go, oh.
Boom, boom. Why would you do this, Bo?
Mate, I remember there was a Dua Lipa song that did that. And basically what the MD said, what happened basically is like the producer just like forgot, like copied and pasted it from like the wrong section.
Shut up.
So like the verse one was like verse two was different to verse one. And then like third chorus was like the verse beat instead of the chorus beat. It probably happens all the time. It's just some like,
why would
just some
this makes
know,
no
some producer
sense
just being like, what, no sense whatsoever. This is when you sit in rehearsals and you go, how much am I getting paid for this?
Oh god, you know, I got through the first verse, I got through the first chorus, and I thought, let's just repeat that and then we'll go to a bridge. Nope He said boom ka, boom, boom, ka. That hasn't happened in this song yet. Okay, so let's just...
It doesn't need to happen.
And we've got some 30-second notes on the sample hi-hat. said, chicka, 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 chicka. All right, let's listen again, because that threw me for a loop. I was not ready for that. And now he doesn't stop going into the chorus. The drummer keeps playing. Well, now the whole thing's shot. I mean, now I have to do a job. Now I have to work. You're paying me way more for this now. This made so much sense in the beginning.
I swear there was a little bit with like no kicks as well.
Totally.
No kicks going on. Yeah, that's stressful right there, mate. To be honest, it's kind of like stressful. I bet this geezer's won. I bet he's won a couple Grammys or something. Totally. You know, so who am I to say? But I just don't mess with them. Let's move to the side snare.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, or go to the toms, but like messing with the kick pattern, that's stress, man. That's when you really, that's like the song that makes you go, okay, cool. Yeah, I need to cancel all of my plans and just stay in the studio. And, do you know what I mean? That was ridiculous.
Hey, Juno. Juno wants to get in on this. She loves Bo the Drifter. Loves Bo the Drifter. All right. Okay. You got to go lay down. Don't do it. Don't go lay down.
She wants that bone, man.
I think she wants the matcha here.
She wants the matcha. Oh my God.
No, Han loves himself some matcha, but because he doesn't know what's happening. I think he grew up a little underprivileged before we adopted him. So if it's edible, he's just in. He's like,
he's just fully committed.
He's like, I don't know when I'll get this again. I'm going in. All right. So now we have to figure out this whole thing. I mean, the basis of this part is boom. Cat, boom, boom, cat. And then remembering or trying to write down a note that, okay, we will be filling all the way into the chorus. So if we listen right going into the chorus, let's listen to that fill real quick. Good news is that at least the second chorus is the same as the first chorus. At least Bo got sassy in verse two.
I think he copied and pasted the wrong thing. Mate.
I think he did too. I mean,
he just bounced it down, uploaded it, and went, that'll do. It's an absolute banger. So how would you remember this, the fact that the second verse has changed? Just write it down.
I have little kind of cheat sheet charts of how I learn songs, and there's room for notation if I need it, but it would never be like the actual drum groove. It's always just kick and snare. It's really rare that I forget, like, you know, I don't just randomly start playing quintuplets on the hi-hat and be like, is this what's happening? Like, I kind of know what the hi-hat's doing. It's either eighths or sixteenths or quarters.
And it's funny, I feel like, not that I sit in my little drum container on my own having conversations out loud to myself, but the more you can make like a thing out of a section, the more you're going to remember it. Like, let's say me and you were going to record this after this podcast. Like, I guarantee you the one thing that we would remember is that the second verse is different.
100%. Yeah. It's so, you have to make a thing out of it. So there would be like on my cheat sheet, there'd be a call to action. Like, remember, second verse is boom, ka, boom, boom, ka. I tell my students this all the time, but when you're charting out songs for yourself, no one will ever see that chart. Just make sure it makes sense to you. You can actually write boom, ka, boom, boom, ka, because no one will ever see it. Do you?
That's what I would do. I would write down in that second verse. I'd write down dun, dun, ka.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because like, I'd need to just look over and see it and be like, okay, dun, dun, ka. Oh, yes, yeah, simple.
Yeah.
Cool. Dun, ka.
Dun, well, dun, ka. You know what's never simple is what you over in the UK call the middle eight. We call it the bridge. Yeah. You know Bo's throwing us a curveball. Let's see what happens.
He is.
We're killing time in our own honky-tonk. We
96 drum parts in this song. What is this, a Dream Theater track?
So like, I mean, that's a good mid-8, man. That
dude,
was like,
yeah. The mid-8 always has, it has two options. We're either going up or we're going down. And he took it up.
Oh, man.
That was beautiful.
He took it up. That was almost like a key change-esque thing to that. Yeah, so in my head, I think the mid-8 is similar to the first verse groove,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yes. Maybe? Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, so that's flipping it, mate. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Let's listen one more time. Brand new. It's boom,
mate.
Ka, boom, 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 ka.
And also, like, I can't hear a single cymbal.
No, I was thinking, let's go to the 20-inch crash, 22-inch crash. But no, this dude just said, tuck your arms in. He was like, I don't want to get hurt. I won't get hurt.
Yeah, that's so hard. That's like, I mean, you just got to go with what musically sounds best. Like, I mean, on your current kit, with what's set up on the stage, what cymbal would you go to?
I would go to the cymbal called the floor tom. I would go,
yeah.
See, it's doom, doom, ba, boom, 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 ba, doom, boom, doom. I would go tribal on it.
Okay, you'll go tribal. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would you go crash
really
of doom?
I don't know. Oh, they don't crash and do me. I haven't played the crash and do me in a while. She's there.
Put her
she's
on
right
the,
there.
She's the on the wall.
The crash and do me. I can see her.
Put her on the luddy. Put her on the luddy.
God, oh, I can't imagine the crash of doom with the luddy, mate, to be honest. It's a combination I never thought of.
I gotta say, the crash of doom should live on a Tama. It should live on a Tama with like a 1980s bass drum head.
Yeah,
it's an aggressive ass cymbal.
Oh mate, it's a beastly cymbal, man. I don't know. I think I might go open hi-hats on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but then where do you go? Closed hi-hats for the full song, then maybe open hi-hats, and then maybe to the ride. I don't know.
No.
I think it's one of those things you just have to like throw loads of stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah, I think that
you could go ride, but not crash ride.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
I don't know.
Eighth notes on the old ice bell. King, 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 king.
Yeah.
But that's definitely one of those situations where you just tell the singer songwriter, the producer, the MD, whoever, like, hey, can we just run that bridge? Like, let's just loop that for a while. I'm going to cycle through some different textures for you. You choose what you like. I'm happy to do any of them. The most important part is we have a brand new kick pattern. So we had our first verse, which was doom, 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 ka, doom, 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 ka. We had our chorus, which was doom, doom, ka, doom, doom, ka. We had our second verse, which I think was back to doom, doom, ka. I don't remember. Then chorus was that.
Yeah, the second verse was doom, doom, ka.
Second verse was boom, ka, boom, boom, ka.
Boom, boom, ka, yeah.
Then chorus went back to doom, doom, ka, doom, doom, ka. And now we're in bridge and we've got doom, ka, doom, 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 ka, doom.
Yeah,
so to me, it's actually kind of working out. First verse has its own vibe. Then first chorus is doom, doom, ka. Second verse, doom, ka, doom, doom, ka. Second chorus, same as the first. Then bridge is back to that second verse with just a pickup note. So instead of boom, ka, boom, boom, ka, which was the second verse, now we're at boom, ka, ba boom boom ka. So one extra 16th on the kick.
Yeah.
God, I mean, that's why I wanted to pick this song or songs like this where people go like, this stuff is so cheesy and easy. Oh. And I'm like, have you tracked it? Have you?
I'm so, so glad you said that. Like this is, I remember saying to my, I think it was my mum, bless her. And I was talking about a gig that I was going to like fill in for, and she was like, well, that's easy for you, isn't it? I'm like, nothing's
Mom,
easy
nothing
when you're
easy.
When you've been given 12 songs and it's in front of 15,000 people, nothing is easy.
The like, tambourine player is bricking it, I'm telling you. Yep. Everyone's scared, Mom. Everyone's scared.
It's like, it's not a question of whether the music is hard or easy. Everything's hard.
Yeah.
You're remembering music. You're remembering different parts, you know?
Honestly, sometimes I feel like a dream theater type thing might be easier. Now it's not, but it's just so note for note that once you've memorized the King's Speech, you've got it. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just note for note. I mean, I learned Tom Sawyer by Rush when I was in seventh grade, like for school band. I can still play it note for note because I learned it note for note. There are Green Day songs. I cannot play Boulevard of Broken Dreams right because I never learned it. I can but I never learned the song.
It's so true because I think in metal music, like everything is so prominent. It is what it is.
It is exactly.
You just play it and you practice it and that is that.
Right.
And then when it comes to like pop or just rock music or anything that isn't metal, popular music on the radio and just standard rock and whatnot, you just automatically play the groove that's in your head and that you would play, or you follow like the vocals. But it's so hard. That is why I always say to people, look, if you want to get into session playing, mate, live or in the studio, you better get flipping good at just listening to a kick pattern and then playing it back.
100%.
That's it. Like, you just put on Spotify, listen to a song and try to play it note for note and just do that. Learn music note for note and just get good at doing
it. Because
that's all that matters.
Just, you know, I think that, especially with a tune like this, we hear it, we label it as kind of like, you know, modern country, cheesy country. But the reality is like, okay, if I put this on for most people with the drum part and everything and said, play this, they would probably play the same kick and snare pattern through the entire song. This thing has changed for every single part, except for the two choruses. The kick pattern has changed. And I guarantee, Juno, seriously, help me out here, kid.
Juno's loving the country.
She keeps like, I'm trying my best to do out of camera stuff, but she's just like leaning into me. Honey, I love you more than life itself. I really do. But you have to go lay down. I'll give you $1. Sit. Can you sit? Thank you. Now don't put your paw up. Don't put your paw up. Just lay down. This is riveting podcast already. But like, I guarantee these kick notes are very important to either the MD or Bo the Drifter. Like, these aren't random, you know? So, all right. So we're out of the bridge. Let's listen. See what happens after this. Maybe a third verse or maybe the final chorus. We'll find out. Chorus is the same as the other choruses. I call that thing after the bridge, I call that a four for nothing. It's four bars that serves no purpose. Uh-huh. It was just like, I'm not ready to go to the chorus yet, but I'm kind of out of ideas for the bridge. Why don't we just hit, let's just stay here. Let's hold for four bars. So a little four for nothing.
Yeah, a little cheeky four for nothing. I like that. Yeah, I was hoping he was going to go completely down or just, I hear his silky little voice going on.
Tennessee
but,
whiskey.
You know, it didn't happen, but Tennessee whiskey. Yeah, that, exactly that. And then,
yeah,
totally. But it was good. It was a banger. I want to hear more from
Bo the Drifter.
From Bo the Drifter.
I'll send you his full album.
But it's tough though, mate, learning this current music, like with production getting in the way. It really is. Like, I guess what I would do is less is more in those situations. It's just like, just simple things on the cymbals. Cymbals are 100% like the afterthought for a lot of production now in like big music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that stuff just gets taken out and replaced. But
okay, so hard, I do have a question. Now let's just jump back to like a chorus-y area. Let's talk about the drums themselves. So kick, snare, like tell me, especially after you just spent a week in the studio, what you're feeling, hearing as far as, okay, now you know the parts, but you got to pick a kit. And, you know, let's just say because you want to step up your current setup, you're going to go with a Gretsch broadcaster just to really, and then no matter what you bring, you know, they're going to make you play a Black Beauty or me. Like, I'm going to be like, no, it's my signature snare. And they're like, no, we don't care.
All right. Black Beauty. Get the Black Beauty out.
Yep. All right. Let's hear it. Oh, come on, Bo.
Come on, Bo. I think he's heard us say a few little criticisms and he's just like, you know what?
He's like, I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. I won't play my song on your silly podcast then.
Yeah, it felt like you said something about cheesy country. This is my life, asshat. Sorry, Bo. This is, clearly we dig it, otherwise we wouldn't have chosen it.
Exactly.
We're feeling fine, drinking Tennessee whiskey, big blue sky, we're going up, we're coming down. Here's the feeling all right, it's a hell of a time. We're on the boat, we're killing time, in our own honky-tonk.
Snare-wise, big blue sky. I would go for the 402 with a snare weight on it. Straight away.
Okay.
Just a cheeky snare weight on it.
And we...
I love those things.
And we didn't ever find out what the 402 is, but we think it's chrome over aluminum. That's our thoughts. If anyone in the chat, if any of the patrons know what a 402 is, let us know. But we think... I've played drums for 40 years and been obsessed with them. Eddie is a current Ludwig artist and neither of us know what the hell a 402 is. But he played one in the studio...
Yeah, I genuinely so super. Yeah, you're right. Superphonic.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, yeah, it is. You were right on the last episode.
Okay, cool.
It's superphonic.
So,
I would play that basically. Yeah, that's 14 by 6.5, and a bloody snare weight on it.
So, thank you, Juno. So, when it comes to muting your drums down with like some gels. That's got to be like a session drummer thing where you're okay with it. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't. No, it looks messy. I can't do it. That's why I've got an internal muffle in my snare. I don't want to see that. So, but when I saw the pictures that you were sending me from the session, I was like, yep, he's a session drummer. Look, he's got gummy bears all over the toms and
I know
a bunch of crap like everywhere. Yeah.
And they're like, one's like, cut in a quarter and you think, is that doing anything? And then when you hear it off, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll get you, fair play.
And it's going to do more later in the session when it gets more lint stuck to it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same as you though. In here, mate, I'm just like, nah, like nothing on there.
Let's keep it clean.
But those snare weights are cool. Yeah. You know, the leather ones.
Yeah, those look very clean, you know.
They do. Yeah, they look very clean. And
yeah.
They work. They sound amazing.
I think you're right. 14 by 6.5, you know, low tune snare weight, whether it be Black Beauty or nickel over aluminum or chrome over aluminum, 402, perfect snare. Kick, nice big pillow in it, somewhat loose heads, just, you know, slappy, thunderous kick. And then toms, I'm thinking like if you have access to a 13 rack, go for it. Two ply clear heads, get the click and the attack out of the clear, but get the low end thump and just like body out of those two ply heads. And then, you know, 16 or an 18 floor, just massive.
Yeah. And you're laughing, man. Yeah. And tape everywhere.
Yeah.
Gummy bears everywhere.
Yep. Little gaff
tape. Cotton balls inside the drum. Yeah. Play it. You sit behind the kit and you play it and you go, this sounds like utter rubbish. And then you hear it in the studio and you go, oh,
greatest drum set of all time. Greatest drum set of all time.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Do you guys need me to do anything else while I'm here? Any old Zeppelin B-sides that never made the cut? I'm ready. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, man. But yeah, mate, that's but what we just did is actually hard to do. And I guess it's nice just doing it with someone else because learning a song like that is really hard.
Yeah, especially, you know, really it's so rare that anyone would... Obviously, social media is a different animal, but in a real gigging scenario, it's rare that you would learn one of those. You'd have to learn 10 or 12 or 20 of those. And so I think the most important thing for our listeners out there is you got to make cheat sheets, you know, and those cheat sheets just have to make sense to you. Like I said, it doesn't matter what you've written on it. It's just, there are things to jog your memory, like, you know, the middle eight or the bridge, 8 bars plus 4, like, but I always write 4 for nothing. It's, I know that it's like, there's nothing happening here. I don't have to think for these 4 bars. And maybe it says build at end, something like that. That just triggers my memory, like lay out for 4 bars and get us back into a massive chorus with a big old drum fill. And then, you know, especially that very first fill that happened at the very beginning, I got to remember like, that's the only one that stops on the 4. So those are the things that I have to write down. And this is what I've found to be very true in all of these situations. When I write it down like that, I never have to look at it again. The act of writing it down is what commits it to my memory. I can see it in my mind, so I never even look at the page. I don't like bring charts to like a gig. It's just, I would just have little notes at rehearsal, but it's just the act of writing it down and kind of faux transcribing this stuff that gets me to a point where I don't need any of this stuff.
Yeah, mate, I've done the same thing. Have a little notebook and I just write some stuff down. I do the, one thing that I love to do, which I made a lesson about, and I'll probably reshoot it again because like I love this stuff and like I've figured out a new way of doing it, but is to record cues.
Okay.
Live.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
So like basically you'll listen to, you'll put the song on Spotify on your computer and then have your phone out on voice memos and cue the music as it's playing.
In real
time.
So like
be like,
wow.
Yeah, in real time. So be like verse, two, three, four. And then as soon as you make a mistake, you got to go back to the beginning. And it's just like this really weird like pressure that you give yourself of like, okay, I'm recording. I can see that red light.
Yeah.
I can see audio being inputted into the phone. Like, I'm actually recording. I better get this right. How well do I know this song? So I do that. I started doing that after the Youngblood thing, like just cueing it and like,
wow.
Because it's basically like you're giving yourself like a test run.
Yeah.
But you're not playing the drums. So you're like, okay, cool. It's four bars of nothing. Oh, I got that wrong. Right. Take me back to the beginning.
Yeah. It's six bars, you know, it's eight bars or it's all those weird things. Cause it's pretty rare that, especially in a situation like this, like if I was tracking this song, the one thing that isn't going to be stressful to me is the drumming, like the drum parts. Mm-hmm. I can play all these things. What throws off the drumming is your brain processing what's about to happen. You can hear it in every, I would say, I'll just use the term like amateur drummer, somebody that's never professionally gigged, never tracked drums in a studio, and they're fairly new to the instrument, just like we all were at some point in our careers. I can hear it every time if I tell them like, okay, going into the chorus, I need a fill. The two bars leading up to that fill, the groove gets so shaky because all they're thinking about is the fill and not messing up the fill. Yeah. And is it happening now? And they just start getting all weird. And I'm like, even though it's the same groove, they've been playing great for the last 12 bars or 14 bars. Now the last two bars get kind of shaky. And then coming out of the fill, they're kind of shaky because all they're doing is patting themselves on the back like, ooh, I nailed it. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
It's just so
weird. That's the worst. And like on a last minute thing, or not even last minute, you know, like,
wow.
If you...
My ringer's on.
Wow. Love that.
Thanks, Sam. Go ahead. I feel like technically I'm crushing this podcast. Can't get the playback to work. All right, go ahead.
So like, you know, if you're on a gig and let's say you do make a mistake and your minute come out of like the bridge or the mid eight or whatever, and you're still playing, then at least do it with confidence. That's the thing.
Totally.
Like so many times I've done like, oh, I was meant to, like I did it on that Rex Orange County thing. Like I thought there was a gap after the second verse because the song before had that. And a lot of his songs had that. Came to the chorus, boom, ba, boom, ba. And meanwhile, the bass player, the MD was talking to me and I just came out, ba, 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 ba. And then he was like, oh, let's stay in, stay in. I was like, okay, cool, no worries. Let me wait for the next bar. Boom, boom. And he actually said down the voice talk back mic. He was like, mate, that was sick.
It's,
and I was like, yeah, I meant to do it. Yep. Do you know what I mean? I meant to pull out just to show you guys another option.
I just want Rex to have a little light on him for a second. I
you
think
know what I mean, but
the confidence
is key.
It is everything. The one thing that drives me nuts is when I'm, you know, coaching a student through a song and they do what I call tickling the ride. So they'll be playing and then they think it's the chorus. So they go to the ride for like two beats and then jump straight back. And I'm like, no. Once you're there, you just commit your ass off. You act like this verse sounds better with the ride cymbal on bar seven.
Yeah.
And just stay there. Sure. Stay the chorus. Don't just tickle it. If you're there, go all in. Well, we're getting to a bad place.
And you know, and if you're on the ride, you can go up a bit more. You got the crash for the actual chorus.
Yeah.
If you jump straight to the crash, you're in a wee bit of a pickle. You've just got to commit, though.
I think you just make it like a thing, like, and we're going back.
Yeah,
and we're going back.
Go.
Like, yeah, whatever you do, just commit and repeat.
It's not a mistake if you do it three times.
There you go.
Just repeat it three times. Yep. You know what I mean? Just
done.
There you go.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We do have confirmation from Tom Woodlock in the chat that the 402 is indeed a Ludwig chrome over aluminum. That is the Superphonic. So good to go. Oh, thank goodness. I don't want Uli.
Thank goodness for that.
I don't want Uli coming down on me and being like, you call yourself an educator? It's like, ah, dog, you know I fight against the establishment. You have the most established snares on the planet. I don't want any part of them. they're just too good.
Yeah, I mean, they're flipping out. That 402, man, was like, saucy.
Will that become your main snare now? Like, will you talk to Ludwig and say, so Black Beauty is still your main snare?
The raw brass.
Oh, the raw brass. What the?
Yeah, baby.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Even am I, mate. No, that's there's something about it, man. It's ridiculous. Wow. It's like, mate, I'll record a bit and send you it. It's stupid.
So do you still have some of those snares from the recording?
Yeah, I've got them all.
Do you just tell them? I'll get them back to you. I can't find the box anywhere.
I've got them in my bed, mate. I'm guarding them with my life.
Okay, so right now you've got raw brass, the chrome over aluminum, the Superphonic.
Yeah.
You have your Ludwig Black Beauty. And out of those three, the raw brass is the one that's making the cut for you. Or as far as like, it's your favorite.
Yeah, I think it's in this box next to me. But it's just ridiculous, man. It just sounds insane. Let me just...
Go ahead.
Oh, this is a different one. I don't know.
Must be nice.
I didn't use this one. This is a Universal.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So Universal is their like slightly more affordable range, right?
Yeah. That one didn't get used, but BRB.
All right, everybody. He's headed over to now pick up a fancy snare drum.
The 402.
Oh, look at that. Oh, with the Keystone badge and everything.
The Keystone badge.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful one. So that means it's under here. So BRB again.
Okay. I'll keep everybody busy as he digs for his next Lee. Just throwing boxes around the studio. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Is it good? Woo!
Oh boy. Now is it heavy?
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Look at that. Oh. That's amazing.
And then it's insane.
Now
the Keystone badge.
I know that that's your favorite. Oh, beautiful. I know that's your favorite, but did that make it on any of the tracks on the album you just did?
Yeah, most of them.
Really?
Yeah. Genuine. It was like...
And you had the Black Beauty there to pick from.
Yeah. So it was between... So the snares that we used were, I would say, this and the Black Beauty for, you know, like 60%.
Okay.
Then the slower songs, the ballads, the 402. And then on one song... Guess what other snare we used, mate? The Edge.
Wait, the DW Edge? The 2,000 pound, and I don't mean dollars. I mean, it's the heaviest thing ever.
There's no need for it. There is no need for it whatsoever.
I used to tour with that snare.
Mate, your tech master hated you, mate.
Dog, I lost him. He became the guitar tech. He's like, I'm not doing it.
Mate, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, the person who owned the snare... It's his snare and he really wanted it on there.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like he was good because it didn't work for all songs, but there was one song that we were like, this is actually the snare for this song. So yeah.
That's cool. That's
apart
very
from that,
cool.
It was all these, but, awesome. But my God, man, this snare.
So that, the raw brass, and what do you have? You have a classic maple? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, maple. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maple. All right. Get some videos out from that drum room. We need to see them. The world needs more of your drumming.
I know, mate. I know. It's happening tomorrow.
Get on it. Get on it.
On there, mate.
Everybody, thank you guys so much for listening to episode 108. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you learned something. If you felt that this episode was valuable, please do us a massive favor and head over to patreon.com. The link is in the description below and become a supporter of this podcast. This entire podcast is supported by the listeners. It is why we're able to do live podcast dates. It pays for either my flight over there or Eddie's flight over here. It pays for our hotel rooms so that we can come and hang out with you guys. It also allows us to make time out of our busy schedules to do this podcast and make this a priority. So if you can, please become a supporter of this podcast. If you can't financially support this podcast, we fully understand. Just do us a massive favor and head over to iTunes or Spotify and give us a 5-star rating and a review. That would be massively helpful. But until next week, episode 108.
Boom. I'm going to play this beautiful snare drum now.
Damn right. And send me voice notes of it. I want to hear it from your phone.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's ridiculous. I'll get it. Let's...
Oh.
And then look, 92 written on it because that was the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was actually a really good trick by, like, the producer. He just went around with the old...